Ever pick up a book from like years ago and it still feels, kind of stuck in your head?
I know the feeling.
That's Crime and Punishment for me.
Really?
Dostoevsky, he really knew how to get in your head,
Yeah,
right?
totally.
It's one of those books that just stays with you. And it's more than a crime story, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like this deep dive into what makes us human, the choices we make, the guilt, the possibility of redemption.
Yeah, and the psychology of it all.
Exactly. That's why we're here diving deep into Crime and Punishment today. We're really going to unpack why this book still resonates with readers centuries later.
It's a classic for a reason.
Totally. So let's jump right in. I've got to admit, this extraordinary man theory that Raskolnikov comes up with, it's both fascinating and kind of terrifying. What do you think?
Well, you have to understand the context. Dostoevsky plunges us into 19th century Russia, right? Poverty everywhere, intellectual and philosophical debates raging. And then we meet Raskolnikov, this former student grappling with these huge ideas, convinced he's figured it all out.
Yeah, like he's found the key to the universe or something.
Exactly. And that's where this extraordinary man theory comes in. Raskolnikov believes that certain individuals, these exceptional beings, are above conventional morality. They can, in his mind, justify breaking the law, even murder.
Because they're serving a higher purpose, at least in their own minds.
Precisely. It's a dangerous and disturbing line of thought, but it makes you question your own moral compass, doesn't it? I mean, haven't you ever felt like you were just a little bit smarter than everyone else?
Maybe, just a tad, sometimes. But Dostoevsky doesn't let Raskolnikov off the hook with this theory. He shows us the brutal reality of what happens when this thinking collides with the real world, the double murder. It's not clean, it's not simple, especially the death of Lizaveta.
Lizaveta, an innocent caught in Raskolnikov's web. That's where Dostoevsky's genius shines, I think. He doesn't shy away from the darkness. He drags us into Raskolnikov's descent, into paranoia and guilt. You feel it in every word.
Especially those internal monologues, right? It's like we're right there in his head, experiencing his mental turmoil firsthand.
Exactly, those stream of consciousness passages, so vivid. And we can't forget those
Oh,
dreams.
yeah, the dreams are intense.
So symbolic. Each one peeling back another layer of Raskolnikov's psyche. Dostoevsky really knew how to use dreams to mess with his characters and us readers.
And then we meet Porfiry Petrovich. This is where the real cat and mouse game starts. Talk about psychological warfare.
Porfiry's fascinating, isn't he? He sees right through Raskolnikov, suspects him from the start. But he doesn't rely on brute force. He's a master manipulator, playing mind games, using conversation as his weapon of choice.
It's like he knows that breaking Raskolnikov mentally is the key to getting a confession.
Exactly. He's got to dismantle that carefully constructed facade, piece by piece. Dostoevsky details these interactions with such precision, you can practically feel the tension building. It's like watching a chess match unfold.
It's amazing how much of Porfiry's approach feels relevant even today. The psychological profiling, the
Yeah.
manipulation tactics, it's all there in modern detective work.
Dostoevsky tapped into something timeless about human nature, especially when it comes to crime and punishment.
Absolutely. But what makes this book even more fascinating are the women. The female characters in Raskolnikov's life are forces to be reckoned with.
Oh, for sure. They're not just passive figures, that's for sure.
You've got Pulcheria, Raskolnikov's mother. Talk about unconditional love. She's willing to do anything for her son.
And Dunya, his sister.
Oh.
So selfless, so strong. She embodies the sacrifices people make for family.
And then there's Sonia. She turns to prostitution to support her family, yet she never loses her faith.
Sonya is the heart of the story, in a way. She represents compassion, unwavering faith.
It's her belief in Raskolnikov's inherent goodness that ultimately pushes him towards confessing, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. She's his moral compass.
Yeah.
And it's through Sonya that Dostoevsky explores the possibility of redemption. But even then, he doesn't offer easy answers, does he?
Not at all. Raskolnikov confesses he's sent to Siberia, but it's never clear if he truly repents.
Exactly. Is it genuine remorse or the crushing weight of guilt and Sonya's unwavering devotion? It's left open-ended, which is part of what makes Crime and Punishment so powerful.
It makes you think. It's not a neat little bow tied on a package. You're left wrestling with these big questions about guilt, morality, and what it really means to be redeemed. Dostoevsky doesn't let us off the hook.
Not at all. That's the brilliance of it. Centuries later, those questions are still relevant.
So if you're listening and thinking about picking up Crime and Punishment, I have one question for you. What speaks to you most? The psychological drama, the moral dilemmas, the possibility of redemption. I have a feeling this book will stay with you long after you finish the last page.
It's a journey, that's for sure. One worth taking, even if it's a little uncomfortable at times.
Yeah.